Welcome back. We're back from the other side. The other side of the break. Don't know what you guys thought I was talking about when we went to break there, but Luke.
Maybe you should write a book and make a movie.
Ooh, I'll bet you there's dollars in that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You should.
Well, now let's...
Religion's big business.
Everybody has a creed. Will we confess what the scriptures teach? Okay, so what do the scriptures teach concerning the resurrection of our Lord, that he was raised to life again on the third day? We're in Luke 24, correct?
Yep.
Before, as you jump back into that, let me just give you another creed from scriptures. In Romans 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Kind of ties in with what he says in 1 Corinthians. What is the gospel? Part of it is confessing his resurrection.
And notice it's...
And it's for your salvation.
It's C-O-N, con, which means with. You same say.
Right.
You say the same thing that Scripture says. So when you confess with your mouth, you're not making this up on your own. This is something that's been said prior.
Homologia. Same words.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right, so Jesus rises from the dead. Now we're in Luke 24. They don't find the body of the Lord. And while they're perplexed, and no doubt, I mean, that's a nice way to put it, perplexed. Okay. You know, you read John's gospel, and it's like, who has stolen his body? You know, if you've taken him, tell me where he is, and I'll go get him. Okay. Behold, two men, these are angels, stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, this is like, it's like it's obvious, isn't it, ladies? But it takes a preacher to preach it. That's why the angels are sent at the empty tomb to preach the good news.
But the irony or the, I don't know how to say this, you're standing in the cemetery, if you will. Why are you looking for the living among the, well, this is where the dead people are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Humanly speaking, this is where we should be and what we should be looking for. But God reveals something else. He preaches something which is contrary to our way of seeing things.
Yep, yep. And then the angels say, he is not here, but has risen. And remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. So notice the preachers preach the word of God, the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 8, they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Who were these women? Well, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
It's interesting there. The angels say, remember what he told you. They hadn't, or hadn't come to mind in their shocked state. And then they remembered. In other words, this word had been preached to them. Jesus at least three times has foretold what will happen,
and
along with the whole Old Testament.
You do this all the time as a pastor with people. You know, tragedy occurs in their life. And this is a huge tragedy for these people.
Right.
Our Lord's died and he's been buried. Now what? Now what? Now what? We believed him to be the Christ, the Son of God. Now what?
What is true in the midst of your despair?
Yeah, and we have to deal with this all the time. That's why the Lord sends us to be his angels, if I can talk like this. I'm not saying we're creatures as angels, but angels in the sense of messengers who preach the word of God.
Right.
That's why you're sent to Emmanuel Eagle to preach to people. Don't you remember what God's told you in his word? He will never leave you nor forsake you. He put his name on you in baptism, et cetera, et cetera.
The gospel continually poked into our ears.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there you have it. When the creed says that on the third day he rose again from the dead, it's absolutely true. I've got one more passage maybe. You read the Romans text. I've got Acts chapter 10, and it's verse 40. And Peter's talking here. I'm going to start verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, and here's the kicker, but God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And then Peter says, and he commanded us to preach all this stuff.
Right, right. and that's what the resurrection is. It is a kairos. It's a preaching of what God has done. It is a preaching forth of the "it is finished" salvation work of Jesus.
One other thing about the resurrection, you know, after he is raised from the dead, you have the accounts in the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus mandates that certain things be done. So, for example, in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. How do you do it? By baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you teach them to observe everything I've commanded. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel. In Luke's gospel that we just read, we could read more, but he says, preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins to the whole world, just beginning in Jerusalem, etc. John's gospel, John 20, he says, now as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. To do what? To forgive people their sins.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to be forgiven, well, then tell them they're not. Bind them.
To resurrect people from their death to sin.
Yeah, that's right.
To eternal life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's important because, you know, his death and resurrection means this, that at Calvary he won salvation for the world and for you. And now with his resurrection, he sees to it that what he won for you at Calvary gets delivered to you. And that's why you have these sending accounts.
Right.
Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. And that's why then Luke, when he writes the book of the Acts of the Apostles, if you will, it continues with how the Lord dishes all this out through the church and through the apostolic ministry in the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Because it's interesting, you have the very things that Jesus instituted in the evangel in the gospels. It actually happens then as you read about it in Acts.
Right.
So in Acts 2:42, what does the Jerusalem church devote themselves to? To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, that means go to church, you know, to the breaking of the bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and to the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to church and receiving what our Lord mandated for the sake of receiving his salvific gifts that he won for you on the cross. All right, so there you have that.
So, resurrection on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What comes next in the creed then? After his resurrection, his ascension. From Scripture, we know that for a period of 40 days, the resurrected Christ appeared on the earth, revealing him, showing himself to many people, teaching them about the kingdom of God, connecting the dots, if you will, for them. And then the ascension into heaven.
You know what? Do we have a few minutes to talk about? Because here's something I want to bring up. He rose bodily from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're in Luke, let's go to verse 36 in chapter 24. Because I'm asked this all the time when I do catechesis with adults, not with the kids. It's always with the adults. They'll say, well, what kind of body did he have? I mean, was it a real body? And so I take them to this. So in verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace to you. They were startled and frightened and thought they saw and the old translation's ghost.
Right.
I like that better, a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit or a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And then they give him a piece of broiled fish, and he eats it. So, yes, bodily.
As we learn also then from the account with his appearance to Thomas, too, still bearing the scars. That's part of the preaching forth, isn't it?
Yeah.
The showing forth of the victory.
Yeah, I like to talk about that account in John 20, that his wounds are showing.
Yes.
We would cover it up. See, isn't that what we do as human beings? If we have a scar, what do? We cover it up. We don't want anybody to see it. In fact, right. we'll go to a dermatologist or we'll do some cosmetic surgery to make sure that it gets eliminated.
Well, why do we cover up and sanitize our Jesus? I mean, there's a whole creed going on there too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because if he's bloodied, beaten, suffering, for what purpose? Well, it's for our sins, isn't it?
Yeah, his wounds preach.
Which means I have sins, which you know, that just makes me feel bad. So let's clean things up. Let's sanitize. Let's take that corpus off the cross. Let's just have the Hallmark Easter glow.
Sunday school picture Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, he's the bloody wounded Jesus who actually died for you for your salvation. And he is the sacrifice. His blood he actually offered on the cross as the sacrifice for sins once and for all.
And now in the flesh and blood, he's alive, never to die again. That's important too. His flesh and blood will never die.
And that's why then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he is the first fruits of them that sleep. So because he rose, those who believe in him, they will be raised bodily as well on the last day.
So your body too shall live eternally.
Yeah.
For those who are in Christ.
Now I've got to say something else because I'm always asked about this. And it's always the adults who ask these questions. Well, what about those people who are cremated?
Yeah.
What about the people who are shipwrecked and they sink below the ocean and the sharks eat their body? Yeah. And you have to remind people that God, Jesus, on the last day when he returns, I'm not saying this to make light of it or to make fun of this fact, but he's going to say, wake up, sleepyheads, or it's time to wake up. Or he'll say like he did with Lazarus, come out. And his word will do what it says. And you will, no matter what condition your dead body's in, whether it's dirt or whether you've just died 10 minutes before he returns, you will have a new body.
Remember, this is the Son of God through whom all creation was spoken into existence. Out of nothing, this orderliness comes about. And so he will speak his word and will gather you, your body, from the four corners of the earth, if you will.
Yeah.
It's that same powerful, creative, life-giving word.
Now, I know I'm going to jump ahead of the game, but I hope you'll bear with me here.
Jump.
Okay, well, so when he does return in glory on the last day, he's going to speak his words. And you know what? Your words don't matter. He's the one who judges. You won't. Now, that's getting ahead of the game. But let me say more about that when we get to that another time.
Okay.
With Judgment Day.
Yep.
With the Creed.
Yep.
Now, Ascension.
Oh, the Creed's going to go there, huh?
Yeah. Ascension Day. This is Luke 24. I think I've got just a few minutes left. He led them out as far as Bethany. Lifting up his hands, he blesses them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. Notice as he ascends, he's blessing. Now, I don't think Emmanuel Eagle has it, but because your congregation isn't that old compared to the other congregations, is it, in this area? How old is Emmanuel Eagle?
115 years.
Oh, it is. Okay, so it is. Do you have a statue of Jesus at Emmanuel Eagle? Did they ever have one?
I believe they had one in the old church.
See, it would be interesting to find out what the statue of Jesus was doing. Now, here at Trinity, Murdoch, and down the road east of us is Emmanuel Louisville. And you can go to all the other Lutheran rural congregations in this area, and you've always got a statue of Jesus that was on the altar. And it's usually the ascending Jesus with his hands outstretched, blessing.
Right.
Why is that? Well, it's because his ascension means that he's still with you, blessing you through his word and sacrament. And we'll have to pick that up probably the next time we talk.
Yep, there's much more to talk about with the ascension of our Lord. So we'll pick up there next week. Hope you can join us.